Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I have an extraordinary discussion with an incredible young man and Inner Circle member named Jose. He grew up as an only child in Mexico City, later on moved to the United States. And in this episode, Jose talks all about his struggles with food, with his body image, with binge eating, with exercise, and more importantly, how he overcame all of them. It's really a remarkable discussion, and I cannot be more grateful for Jose taking the time to talk to me about this, be open about this, and to share his journey with you and me. So Jose, thank you so much to everyone listening. I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please leave a 5-star review. With that being said, let's get into it.
Yo, what's up? Hey. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for taking the time to hop on with me. I really appreciate it. I'm very, very excited about this.
No problem. Actually, the other way around, man. It's super cool that you've taken the time, man.
Man, I'm stoked. Would you mind? I just want to make sure the audio is all good. It sounds like it might be brushing up against your sweatshirt or something. Awesome. Yeah, just as long as it's not brushing up against your sweatshirt, we'll be good.
Okay.
Amazing, man. Yeah, that's way better. Thank you, dude.
Okay, cool. No problem.
Dude, so listen, I mean, do me a favor, just introduce yourself. Just talk to me. Like, I want to get to know you a little bit better. I know I read your email, and it sounds like you have an incredible story, and I want to dig into that. But just tell me a little bit about yourself.
For sure. So my name is Jose. I was born and raised in Mexico. Okay. A small town really close to Mexico City, about 40 miles east of Mexico City. I spent some time of my childhood growing up in Canada, in Vancouver.
Okay.
Then I went back to Mexico, and I've moved to the U.S., to the Detroit area, about 7.5 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
I got here in 2013.
So I've been
living
like
here since. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, now it's winter. So the cold is definitely something
I
will never gonna get used to.
Mexico to Canada is like, that's like complete opposites, right? Do you prefer the warm weather?
Yeah. So where I'm from, actually is like higher in altitude. So we have like a constant, I guess, 23°C, like 70 something in freedom units all year long. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
And our winters can get a little bit colder, but not this cold for sure.
Yeah. Got it. So you're relatively used to the cold anyway.
Yes.
And you've been in Detroit for 7 years?
Yes, a little bit over 7 years now, yes.
Do you think you'll stay there for a while longer, or are you thinking about moving anywhere else?
Probably, yes. So I'm in the process of obtaining my green card, actually. So
amazing.
At least for a few years, yes, I'll stay here.
Yeah. How long does that process usually take? I know very, very little about that.
Yeah, so it depends. So I'm getting it through my employer. I got here to the U.S. originally to go to school to get my master's degree. So after I was done with it, I was hired by this company that I'm working at right now. I'm an engineer, by the way.
Amazing.
And they just started back in April, the whole process. So usually it could take from like 18 months to 2 years to get, you know, from the beginning to end.
Got it.
But now with COVID, I don't know.
Yeah, I would imagine that would delay things considerably because basically everything has been delayed this year.
For sure, yeah.
And so, man, well, tell me a little bit about your story, especially. I know I read the email. I don't want to put any words in your mouth. I'd love to hear your story from you about what you went through growing up and how you've worked through it and to where you are today.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, like it was, I think maybe I left that this detail from the email anyway. So when I was a kid, like really, really young, I was actually very skinny.
Okay.
I was born with the heart murmur, I think is the translation.
Yeah.
So I got surgery, like open heart surgery when I was like a year and a half.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That must have been petrifying for your parents.
Yeah. So I'm an only child, by the way. So yeah. So I had like, let's say from year zero to like maybe 6 or 7, I was super skinny, like really skinny. Actually, even some kids will, you know, make fun of me because of that. And I remember my mom would tell me, tell them you're not skinny, you're thin. That would be my argument.
do you know what her reasoning was for that? Like what the distinction between that was?
No, because I guess she just was like, she didn't like, you know, watching me upset, getting upset because, hey, mom, these kids are calling me skinny or a twig or whatever.
Yeah.
That would be my formal argument.
Listen, guys, I'm not skinny. I'm thin. Get off my back.
Yeah, sure. But then I used to spend my summers up north in Mexico. I have some relatives living in the north of Mexico, close to Texas, like 3 hours away from like the border, maybe.
Yep.
And so I went there to spend my summers, and I think I was like maybe 8 or 9. I went there to spend my summer, and then when I came back, my parents were supposed to pick me up at the bus station, and they walked past through me, right, to pass by me, like they wouldn't recognize me.
No way.
I gained weight like this in like 3 months, 2 months, like in summertime, right?
Yeah.
During the summer break, and they were like, what happened? Like, because for so many years they were like, you know, making me trying to make me gain weight, right? Like eat more, like the typical, you know, you're not allowed to, you know, leave the table until you finish your plate or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would go, they would make me go for seconds or thirds. So we didn't know what happened, right? So anyway, I came back.
Do you know how much you gained?
I really don't know, but it was, you know,
it was a lot to where they didn't recognize you.
My clothes fit, and yeah, so yeah, they wouldn't recognize me anyway. So after that, it was a constant battle because, you know, the months passed, the years passed, and it didn't matter what I did. I just keep, you know, getting bigger and bigger. Mm. So my mom got worried, and she took me to an endocrinologist.
Okay. Yep.
Because she developed some thyroid.
Hypothyroidism. Yeah. Got it. Yep.
She got that after she was pregnant, you know, with me.
Yep.
So she took me because she was suspecting some of the symptoms were similar. I was, you know, sleepy. I felt tired all the time.
Interesting. Okay.
They took me there, and yes, they diagnosed me with that, with hypothyroidism as well.
Wow. Okay. Do you know how old you were when you got diagnosed with that?
Probably around 10. Yeah, because I was like 4, maybe. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So since then, I've been, you know, been on medication for that. So after that diagnosis, and they explained that to me, you know, how could you explain a 10-year-old what that condition is?
It's hard to explain to a 50-year-old what that is, never mind a 10-year-old. Yeah.
So the way they told me is basically your metabolism is not as fast as you know, other people. And by the time you are hungry again, you have not finished digesting your food. That's how they explained it to me.
Yep.
So made some sense on why I was, you know, getting bigger. But since then, it was a constant struggle to try to lean down. So my mom, she's like I mentioned, she also has a hypothyroidism. So she's also on the heavier spectrum, I would say. So between the both of us, we would try to diet together. Obviously, it's easier when you have someone else doing it with you, and especially for me, seeing that my mom was doing it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we went through all of, you know, kind of protocols, diets, anything, you name it, man. I think I told you on the email, I think I tried keto first time when I was like 10 or 11 or something.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yep. Yeah.
So anyway, we went through all of that basically since then all the way until I was like 27 or so.
Right? Wow. Just always like different diets, trying different things, trying to lose weight. And would you have success with anything?
Yes. For like a short periods of time. Yes, of course. Something that they always told me, like my mom and my parents, they were saying that, you know, you have a really strong willpower. So if you could only, you know, apply yourself a little bit longer, you will see better results. But obviously I didn't know that was not the proper way to do it.
That's exactly right. It wasn't a willpower issue. It was a methodology issue. That was
exactly. Yeah.
Did you have, I know when before that you'd get teased for being thin. Did you end up being teased for being overweight at any point?
Yeah. Yes, for sure. Yeah, and also I used to play soccer as
Okay.
well. So, I mean, that also
Playing
didn't
shirts
help.
and skins, I'm sure it was
Exactly.
never comfortable. Yeah.
But anyway, I still managed to play somehow decent. But yeah, like you said, being teased by other kids and
Kids can be
people.
brutal, man.
Oh yeah.
I just spoke about this on a podcast I did a couple days ago about body image. And I've been getting a lot of stories from people about the things they've struggled with in the past, and almost all of them come back to childhood.
Dude, you're the story about the man boobs thing.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
happened to me like I don't know how many times, man.
It's crazy. And the thing about it is, when you're a kid, you don't really understand all the time, even if they are being mean. Like, sometimes they're not trying to be mean, and it's hard to really conceptualize. Well, that was just a comment they made offhandedly, and it's hard to separate that from your own emotion. Like, it's so difficult as a child, and so much of the issues that we grow up with that
Yeah.
stay with us for our whole life happen at a time in our life when we don't really understand what the hell is going on. It's so crazy to me how this is such a consistent factor for so many people.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think that plays a big role in how you end up growing up and how you know all the mental struggles that you go through while growing up, those play a huge part
Amen.
on
Well
that.
said,
Yeah.
bro. So sorry to keep interrupting. Keep going.
No,
So.
yeah. So actually, that's what happened with me. Like, at first being teased and being conscious of being too thin, and now going to the polar opposite, right? So like I mentioned, I'm an only child. Both of my parents, they both work, so I was alone for most of the day, right?
Okay.
So I did what I could to keep myself occupied. You know, I learned to play music. I learned to play video
I
games.
was gonna say, see the guitars in the background.
Oh
I was gonna ask about that later. Man, it's
yeah,
awesome.
sure.
So you play a bunch of music.
I do play some music. Yes, I play a couple instruments myself. Yeah.
I love that, man. That's amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, like I was saying, I was like alone most of the time, and I guess I didn't have someone to talk to or I really didn't understand what was going on, and I turned to food
Yeah,
for comfort, for
makes
sure.
sense.
And then I don't remember exactly when I started to like lose control of my eating, but I would say probably around maybe 13 or 14. That's when it started like being a little bit more serious. Like I remember I would I would come back from school. And I will already, have eaten breakfast, lunch, snacks, whatever at school. I will come back, eat again, like have a proper meal. Like, I guess, yeah, a proper meal. Then I would keep on, snacking. And the problem is that it's not like I just ate, like, quote unquote, junk food, right? If you put me a bucket of fries, I will eat it. If you put me a bucket of cucumbers, I will eat it. So that was not an issue, right? At least not for me.
Is
But
just whatever's in front of you, you're eating it.
yes,
Got it. Yep.
and but then obviously, I was also being self-conscious because when I was when I would go out to eat with my parents or whatever, I would notice like other people watching me eat, and I don't know if you ever had that happen to you, but it's the most uncomfortable feeling ever, like feeling watched while you eat
Interesting.
is.
Well, you were at a restaurant and people
Yeah.
would just be watching you as you were eating, and you could feel their eyes on you.
Yes. And I don't
Yeah.
know if maybe just is what's really happening or was just my imagination or something, but it felt like super
I'm
bad.
sure it's a combination of both. I'm sure, like, on one hand, yeah, maybe you're insecure about it, so like it feels like everyone's watching you. And on the other hand, I'm sure there were people watching. That's not a surprising thing to hear. I've recently started doing a podcast with my brother, who is like, he's over 300 pounds and he's struggling to lose weight. And that's one of the things he's spoken about, is the idea of, like, when he goes out to eat, he can't just go out to eat and just sit down and eat a meal. Even if he's by himself, it's like he can't do it alone because people are watching. It's a
Yeah.
real thing that I think it's one of those things where, resting bitch face, where
Yes.
like you don't know if you have it, but like sometimes, like when you're just walking around, you've just got RBC or RBF, whatever, resting bitch face. I think
Yes.
sometimes people will look
and not even be aware that they're looking, which can be, you know, it doesn't make it any less rude or obnoxious or difficult on the individual who's being watched, but it's happening, you know?
Yeah. No, for sure. And yeah, I mean, those things, I like, based on those experiences, I really didn't, you know, enjoy going out to eat that much or enjoy having, you know, food around with more people. So I would go to my room to keep on eating. So yeah, that kind of started being, you know, started developing some weird stuff, some weird behaviors.
So you would go to your room to eat in private so that you wouldn't be watched? Okay.
Yeah.
And were your parents making comments about any of this?
Not really, because like I said, they will, you know, they both work full time. Yeah. So I will, you know, they will pick me up from school. We would have the, you know, food together, maybe 2-3 p.m. Then they will go back to the office, and then they wouldn't come back until, you know, late at night.
So got it.
I had a lot of time, you know, on my own to do many things. So yeah, basically that's what, when I think it all started.
Okay.
And I remember I didn't know what was going on. So the internet was just, you know, starting, I guess. Those, like, you remember those old, like, when you need to connect to the landline? That was the time when I was like maybe like a teenager, let's say like 17 or so. So I started trying to look for information, and like typing what I was doing, why I was eating, and I couldn't stop eating, right? Mm-hmm. And how I could get rid of that guilt that I was feeling after. And I couldn't find any information related to men to specifically, right?
Interesting. Yep.
You would see some things about, you know, the whole anorexia or bulimia thing. They were just starting to be like more mainstream, I would say.
Yeah.
But it was mostly targeted towards women.
Of course. Yep. So and I it still is.
Yeah, for sure. So I couldn't find anything related to men or anything like that. And I remember that back in Mexico, soap operas are a huge thing. And I grew up watching them. So what I remember soap operas.
Oh, soap operas. Yeah.
they're a huge thing. And I grew up watching them. And I remember I was watching one of them with my grandma. And there was one character, was this young girl. Was a little bit heavier, but like heavier for the entertainment business, right?
Which is probably a very healthy.
Exactly. And she was portraying a bulimic patient, okay. I would say, yeah. And I started noticing that what she was doing, you know, in character, was very similar to what I was doing.
Wow. Okay.
So it was okay, like she, you know, stuffs her face with donuts, with whatever. I do the same thing. She cries after or while doing it, just like I do. Then she goes and, you know, vomits everything.
Yeah,
just like I do. So I was like, oh, okay. That may be something that's going on. But I never said anything to anyone.
That is so interesting that the first time you realized this was watching a TV show. Was any part of you comforted in knowing that it wasn't just you, in terms of you're watching this and you see that someone else is doing it? Was there any part of you that was like, okay, like I'm not the only one doing this? Or was it more like, oh, this is a problem?
I think most likely the second thing.
Okay.
Because I was still not, because at the end I knew that was, you know, acting.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure that, you know, that's really like someone else is having this or not.
Makes total sense.
But yeah. And anyway, I kept on doing that, you know, with periods of time where I was doing more often, or other periods of time where I didn't do anything. But nevertheless, I was still very heavy and not doing the best thing with my diet and exercise. So I'll fast forward until I came to the US. I came here in 2013. I was 22 years old.
Okay.
It was the first time I was living on my own. I always lived with my parents, like, cause you know, the college I attended back in Mexico was like a 45-minute commute from my parents' house, so no need to leave, you know, the homeland. Yeah, for sure.
Why waste the money if you could just live at home for free? Yeah.
Yeah, so this was the first time I was living on my own, with like literally no, now there was no supervision whatsoever for anything, right?
Yeah.
So I remember I weighed myself the day before, no, 1 week before I took the flight to Detroit.
Okay.
And I weighed it at, I think it was 115 kilos.
Okay.
And I said, okay, my purpose is, I know I've been to the US before, so I know the portion sizes, I know the delicious food you guys have. So I said, okay, my purpose for the next year or so is to not go above 115 kilos.
Okay. So 115 kilos, that's about 250 pounds, right?
Yes.
Got it. Yep. Okay. Yep.
So I was like, my plan is to not go over that.
Okay.
I'll try to be, if I can lose the weight, that'd be great. If not, at least not go beyond that. 250. Of course, that didn't happen, but I was able to do it for a couple months, for almost like a year or so. But I kept on, you know, doing those things behind, you know, closed doors.
Got it.
Okay. I came here with two other guys. They were my roommates.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, there was three of us, three guys living in the same house. You could imagine, right?
One bathroom, I'm assuming. Like,
yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So did they must have known?
Actually, no, because wow. I was doing everything on my room. You know, I tried to not do anything, you know, that, you know, bring attention to me or something.
Man, number one, I really appreciate all of this so far, and I appreciate you being so open and honest about this. I think you're bringing up such an amazing discussion, in that you never know what someone's going through.
Yeah.
Ever. You like people, if you don't want someone to know that you're going through something, then you're going to do everything in your power to make sure that they don't know, that they don't see it. I mean, wow. I thank you for saying all of this. Keep going.
Oh, yeah. No. And yes. So I kept on doing the things that I was doing. I knew that it was not healthy, but I didn't know any other way. So anyway, like in 2014, I ended up, we went to school in the morning and I was complaining about a stomachache, and they took me to the, you know, to the nursing thing at school or whatever in campus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were, I, you know, I just said, you know, it's because I ate something or whatever. But when they started doing some tests on me, like some, they were pressing on my belly or whatever, the nurse got worried, and she said, you know, you better go to the ER. Because I think you have something, you know, a little bit more serious happening.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I ended up going to the ER.
Just by yourself?
No, my roommates drove me there.
Okay.
But she said, I don't think, I mean, you just go there and tell them what's going on. I think you will be, you know, in and out in a couple of hours. Don't worry. Well, I ended up staying like 3 nights.
No way.
Because what they didn't know, they meaning the nurse and my roommates, is that the night before I had like a huge binge on my own. Like I ate probably like $85 gross, you know, worth of groceries.
Do you remember any of what you ate? Do you remember any of it?
Oh yeah. I had like all the meats. I had chicken, steak. I had cereal. I had bread. I had vegetables, a lot of vegetables. I had a lot of cheese as well.
Yeah.
Milk. Like chips as well. I ate a lot, man. And then obviously I felt super bad. And what I did is I popped like a couple of laxative pills.
Got it. Yep. Yep.
But when I say a couple, there's like a lot of them.
It was more than a couple.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, some of them, they have a warning that say, you know, don't have this after you've eaten dairy, because they may have something to. Well, yeah. So I think that was like a weird combo of eating too much and, you know, self-medicating myself and what have you. And something, you know, when wrong, I exactly don't know what happened, but I ended up staying 3 nights at the hospital, and I don't know like how they didn't caught that they didn't catch that I did that to myself, right? I blamed it everything.
Really?
On, yeah. I don't know how. Maybe they knew and they didn't, you know, say anything.
Did they ask? Like, did they ask any questions?
They just said, "Oh, what do you have for, you know, dinner or whatever?" And I came up with a random excuse, like I had some spicy thing or whatever. And that's how I got away with it. But in reality, it was not the case. Wow. I knew that I did that.
And so, did they say, like, what was going on internally? Did they say, this is what's happening, this is why you're feeling this way? Did they tell you?
I think they said that my colon was a little bit inflamed or something like that, like swollen or something. That's why it was causing the pressure on my abdomen. Because when I wouldn't be in pain when I was sitting down, but as soon as I was laying down on my back, the pain on the lower left side of my stomach, of my abdomen, would, you know, be like a sharp pain right there.
Okay.
So that's what they said that was going on. But anyway, yeah, they had me there 3 nights and I was discharged. And that same night that I was discharged, I binged again.
Man.
So, yeah, that was not fun times, man.
Man, this makes me think that, I mean, doctors can only know so much and they're so busy and they have so many patients to work with. This makes me think that in that type of situation, one thing that would be really great in the health community would be able to have like some type of not even a nutritionist, because oftentimes nutritionists don't deal with binge eating and they don't deal with it's more of like a behavioral health specialist at a hospital, where if they see certain signs of something like this, where they, if you're there for 3 nights, take 10 minutes and go sit down with you and ask you certain questions to see, hey, like, are you struggling with food? Have you been binging? Like, do have a certain discussion with patients who sort of fit a criteria that, hey, maybe this person needs to speak with someone about some type of binging or purging or anything. And maybe that could help in the future. But man, that's so crazy. You're there for 3 nights Wow. Okay. So you left and you binged right away.
Yeah. The same night. So yeah, I guess I didn't learn my lesson. I try to be a little bit more careful if that's the case, right? On what I was doing. So the thing is that I never, you know, there's different ways of, you know, after a binge, people, some people don't purge, some people do it, right?
Yep.
Some people do it by inducing vomit, some other go and, you know, do 3-4 hours of cardio or whatever.
Yes.
I never did that. I was only doing it, the you know, inducing vomit myself, right?
Got it. Yep.
So anyway,
you bring up a great point, though, that a lot of people don't know, is that some people will they won't purge at all. Other people, their purging is going out and exercising for 2-4 hours straight, which is, it's a lot of what I did when I was in high school, where like I would run 15 miles a day every day sometimes, where it was like that was my way of quote unquote purging. Exactly. Whereas other people, it's through vomiting or whatever it is. So I mean, it's important to know there are many ways that people will do this, and it's not just through one way. So thank you.
Yeah, sure. And yeah, so there were days where I would do that, I would purge. Some days I would do only binge, whatever, right? Any combination of both. That's what will happen. Then the next year, 2015, I had two cousins come from Mexico to Detroit to visit me for a couple of weeks. They're younger than me, but they are like, we're really close. And I remember that they were also, you know, chubby kids growing up, but then they got in amazing shape. And they introduced me to YouTube Fitness.
Like, wow,
Chris Jones and the Hodge twins and all those guys.
Yeah. Man, no one knows about those guys anymore. Yes, that was the pinnacle of fitness for a while.
Yeah, so they introduced me to those guys and I started watching their videos, but I just, you know, watched them for entertainment purposes only. But then I found one of your friends, Omar Isaf.
Oh, he's amazing. I love him.
And I remember the first video I saw from him was the one that he was deadlifting in a Power Ranger suit.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's so cool, right? So anyway, I watched their videos, but I couldn't relate because like guys like Omar, they come from a different background, right? They come from being like thin, trying to put on muscle.
Correct.
So in my mind, there was no way of doing it the other way around. I would go and see in the magazines or whatever, like the amazing stories of people transforming their bodies or whatever, but I couldn't believe it, right? Because I really couldn't believe it. I thought that was not possible.
Yeah.
And
you actually bring up a really good point that I've never heard anyone articulate before, and I haven't even articulated this, but I had like a trigger as soon as you said this, where so much of the male fitness, male magazines, male fitness ideal comes from starting from a place of being skinny and then getting jacked.
Yes.
Very, very I don't really see any of it starting from the point of being overweight and then losing weight and then building muscle. It's much more of the skinny to jacked, scrawny to brawny type of that. That's what, I mean, that's books are made off of that, as opposed to where it's very rarely, all right, we're going to take someone with a lot of body fat and then lose fat and then build muscle. It's just, that's not really the mainstream for men.
Exactly. So that was like, again, I was not finding the information that closely relates to me. Right. So I kept, I kept watching the videos, but I was just like, I said, just for fun, right? But I didn't know that at the end, those things that they were saying, some of those concepts were stuck with me until now. So, so anyway, during that same 2015 year, I said, you know, I had enough of this. I know that I'm not, you know, it's not healthy what I'm doing. So I'm going to keep on researching and try to end my, you know, behaviors around food once and for all, right? To correct them once and for all. And while doing my research, I ended up in one of those websites that are pro eating disorders.
Okay.
So, yeah, I kind of was very surprised of what I read. But anyway, by jumping around the internet, I found... I read somewhere that one way you could do it is like through being tough on yourself. So don't you like? I don't like being watched while I eat. Okay, so next time you're about to eat in front of a mirror. And I remember at the time I was living in with one of my roommates. We were in a big apartment, two bedroom apartment, and each one of us had his own bathroom. Okay. Mine was so big, and like it had a huge mirror, and the space between the faucet thing and the shower was big enough so I could fit my desk in between. So I remember that because my daily coming back from work home routine was, you know, I would. You know, have my lunch at work, then I would go to the vending machine, have something. Then on my drive back home, I will stop because at the time my work was literally just like 11 miles south from my apartment. I just turn right and I will go all the way up for home, all the way down to work. But I had like what I call the trifecta of fast food. I had McDonald's on one side. On the other side, I had Burger King. Then I had Wendy's. Then I had a Buffalo Wild Wings. And then I had my apartment complex. So that would be my trip. So on the way back from work, I would stop at one of those places. I would have something to eat on my way home. And then I will have dinner. So it's ridiculous. But anyway, I picked up...
Buffalo Wild Wings is my favorite. Like, that'd be dangerous for anybody to have next to their place.
Yes. So, yeah, I picked up the food, and I said, okay, you know what? Let's try this. And I went into my room. I closed the door. I brought my desk into the bathroom, and I said, you know, how could I do this more extreme? Because I really wanted to, you know, get rid of it. I was so desperate. So I said, you know what? Let's do this shirtless. So I took off my shirt.
Wow.
And I started eating in front of the mirror. Dude, it was the biggest mistake I've ever made.
Oh, man. Oh, man. So what happened?
Until today, I don't know what to say exactly. I remember, you know, watching myself in the mirror, all, you know, my face all, you know, with ketchup stains all over the place and like crumbles and everything. And I just looked and I said, man, this is bad. This is so pathetic. This is not good.
Just demoralizing.
Yeah. And I ended up crying again and all that stuff. And it was the biggest mistake I've ever done. Like, I felt awful for like, I don't know, a month or so.
I bet, man. And that's something that I think very few people would be willing to share. And I think just for whatever it's worth, I think you're helping a lot of people by being open and honest about this. And I appreciate you a lot, man. So thank you for talking about this.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just, I guess at the end, I felt so alone that I don't want anyone to feel the same way I felt.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of wanted to do this. So yeah, it was definitely not the best, not one of my brightest moments for sure.
Who knows, but, man? I mean, maybe. I mean, I want to hear the rest of it. I want to hear what happened next. But I mean, maybe it wasn't the best idea. But who knows? Maybe it ended up leading to something great as a result of it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, maybe you're right. I mean, I've put a lot of thought, you know, on this, because this was the last big, I would say, dark episode I remember.
Okay.
I was still in 2015, and I didn't start my journey until 2017.
Okay.
So it was a solid, like, at least a year and a half.
Okay.
Of not doing any, like, extreme weird crap. Right?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. I still had some binges or whatever, but nothing, like, super extreme. Like, no need for me to go to the hospital, no need for me to take time off from work. So yeah.
So it definitely wasn't something that, I mean, it didn't make you feel good, and it definitely wasn't something you're happy about, but it might have been the catalyst for some form of change.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah, for sure. Then I guess, yeah, you're right. Because like I said, until 2017, I was still, you know, not doing the best and handling my health, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
But then again, I was still watching YouTube Fitness, so that's when
you were interested in fitness.
Yes, for sure. Like, I don't know, I just found the channels very like entertaining. And
yeah, so, Omar does a really good job of that. Omar is very entertaining and incredibly smart, but he's very entertaining as well.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And then that's like, by, you know, the magic of YouTube, of doing the recommended videos or whatever, I ended up in one of the videos from one of our mutual friends, I will say, Obese to Beast.
Oh yeah, he's the man. I love that guy. I was just DMing him on Instagram a couple minutes ago. That's amazing. Yeah. He's phenomenal.
Yes. So that's when I finally was able to see someone that actually did it.
Yes.
Like, he came from, you know, being big to being healthy, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, wow. And then I through him, I watched another one of his friends' videos, and actually, like, I saw his, I watched his entire series, and I watched him transform before my eyes. Like, that's when I knew that it was possible. So that's when that's what really, when I finally found like someone that I could relate to, that's when something clicked. And I said, maybe I can do this. And that's when I started. I had all those years of watching the videos as background.
Yeah.
So I really understood like the nutrition aspect, like, and also, you know, all those years before working with nutritionists and doctors and whatever, some of the things started to make sense now. So that's when I really started, you know, working on myself. And I started by tracking macros, and I still do that now. But anyway, I did that, and by doing that for what, like, I think I started in April 2017.
Okay.
And by December of the same year, I had lost maybe what, like 80 pounds, 60
Shut
to 80 pounds,
up.
Something like that. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
And were you still binging at all, or was that? You're
nope.
done.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you remember like what? Do you either remember your last binge, or do you remember like what caused you to stop binging? How'd you stop with that after so many years of doing that? Like, what happened?
So, like I said, I don't specifically remember my last one, but I do remember like reading some books. I remember reading one book. I can't remember the name of the author, but the name of the book is Brain Over Binge or something like that.
Yep.
And while I was reading it, it was like a little bit, I was not upset, but it was like, I don't understand why this lady says that she just stopped because she just did. And I was like, this is not good advice, right? How come? But then I realized that what she meant is like, everyone have a choice.
Yeah. So
if you choose, if you binge, you choose to put, you know, to take the first bite is your choice. After that, you know, God knows.
Man, but, you know what's, I'm so glad you brought that up, because for someone who's in it, for someone who's struggling with it right now, hearing that is infuriating, right? Because to them, it's as though they don't have a choice. It's as though that they have no control. But once they get to a point in which they can internalize that they do have a choice, and not saying it's easy, very difficult. It is incredibly difficult, but you do have a choice. And then everyone, once they're on the other side of it, like you are, and like you're saying, it's like a light bulb goes off and you're like, oh my God, I did have a choice that whole time. I couldn't see it yet.
Exactly. And then even when I think also what helped is when I started, I put some ground rules on myself. I said, okay, you know what? Let's do this, but let's do this in some sort of way that I think will work for me. And one of the first rules I gave to myself was, okay, I will not eat. I will not go any way beyond, below 1800 calories. That was my, you know, limit. I said, regardless of the results, I won't go lower than that.
Man, I love that. You had you must eat at least this many calories. You can't go lower.
Yes.
I love that.
The other thing was like, I won't like isolate myself anymore. I'll try to be, you know, as social as possible. I'll try to, you know, enjoy food around people. And that's that. And I remember because my roommate at the time, he was the opposite, right? He was trying to be the skinny guy to the muscle guy. So he was trying to eat a lot, right? And every Friday we would have dinner at McDonald's. And I said, you know what? It doesn't matter. I will do that. It doesn't matter. I will go with him and we will have dinner at McDonald's. It doesn't matter. And I did it. I stuck with it. Man, and it worked.
You're the fucking man. You are straight up the fucking man. I am so impressed with everything that you've said and that you did. And there's more. I still want to keep listening. I'm just the urge to tell you that you are the fucking man was overwhelming. I just had to let you, like, what you're saying is just so incredible that you did this all on your own, that you took the initiative on your own, and that you implemented things so clearly. They're not outrageous things. They're very basic, but you did them. You put a limit. I must eat this many calories. I must be going out and being more social, because people who struggle with binge eating, as you know, they do it on their own. They do it in private. So what do? You put yourself in a situation in which you're in public, in which you're being social with other people. Well done, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like those were like the main things. And also like while I was doing so, like I said, I going back in the timeline, I started in April, but then by around June, my parents had a trip, you know, planned to come and visit me. So they came here and I was like, oh crap, you know, I'm deep on these, I'm still learning, but you know, now I need to, you know, spend time with them and, you know, be around with them, show them around. But I said, oh, you know what, let's try to control what I can and we'll go from there. So they spent 2 weeks with me. I still tracked everything, you know, as accurate as I could. I said, you know what, during these 2 weeks, let's do this. I will, you know, control two of my meals and one of them, you know, whatever happens, happens. And I stuck with it. And at the end, I weighed myself and I didn't gain nor lost weight.
I maintained. Incredible.
So I was like, this for sure is working. Then by September, I had a road trip with my friends planned. We were going to do like a whole, you know, I'm here in Detroit. They were coming from Mexico and from Europe to Toronto in Canada. I was picking them up, and we would be driving all the way up to Quebec and back. So I said, you know what? This time will be a good time to practice what I've learned. So I will erase my fitness pal from my phone.
Wow.
And I'll try to do the best I can. And that's what I did. And after I think it was again like 10-day road trip or whatever, I came back home. I weighed myself and I lost 2 pounds. I was like,
holy hell.
That's when I knew I really, you know, I got this. That's when I knew.
Man. So how long did you track your macros before that trip? How long was that time frame?
So it was from April until September. So April, March. No, wait. Like 4 months, maybe?
Four or five months. Got it. And so when you went on that road trip, what were the things that you did to make sure that you were on track? Like, what did you do? Sure.
So what I did was I knew like, okay, we will be staying at hotels, which include the breakfast. So I'll have some breakfast, some high, like I will prioritize protein for sure.
I love it.
Some meal that has protein but looks breakfasty, maybe.
Yeah.
And we will be on the car driving. So there will be like gas stations. So they have protein shakes there and fruits and beef jerky. So I'll snack on those. And when we finally, you know, go to eat at restaurants or whatever, one of my friends, he really likes fries. So what I would do is, you know, usually when you order stuff here in North America, you have the side of fries, right?
Absolutely.
So what I would do is I will take a bite of whatever the thing was, either a steak or the chicken or the sandwich or whatever, and have a couple of fries. And at the end, you finish your main thing and there's some leftovers, right? So what I would do was I would either give those fries to him, or if he didn't want those, what I would do is I don't like mustard. I hate the taste of mustard. So I would put mustard all over them. So I won't be, you know, tempted to eat them, right, or whatever. So that those were my techniques, and they seemed to work for me at the time.
Man, so. I love that. I love everything. I love how it started off with you tracked your macros, you got it all in check, you had huge success with it, and then of your own accord, you decided, you're like, you know what? I'm going to get rid of my fitness pal for this trip. I'm not going to track, and I'm going to come up with other strategies because I know that as long as I get my protein in and as long as I'm diligent in with the basics here, I'm going to be okay. Man, I'm just blown away with how well you have implemented these simple, basic techniques that lead to extraordinary results. And you've done it all on your own, man. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, and that's what I said. I think all of those years of watching the videos and reading, and also with the past experience I had with nutritionists and what have you, those really, like, finally something clicked, and I was able to learn and basically have the concepts really ingrained within me, so that has helped a lot. So yeah. At the end of 2017, like I said, I was like maybe 60 to 80 pounds down. So, and then, oh, but by the way, when I started in April, I also started going to the gym to lift weights for sure. Because I started watching more videos on how to do stuff, like do the basic dumbbell and barbell movements.
Yep.
And again, dealing with the whole, you know, being overweight and going to work out and going to the weight section was another, you know, another challenge for sure.
Oh, yeah. Battle. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I remember I was working out very late at night because I didn't want anyone, you know, looking at me or whatever. So, yeah.
Wow. So you deliberately go to the gym very late at night just so you could be alone?
Yes.
What time would you go?
Like I would go maybe from 9:30, 10 to 11:30 or something.
Wow. Like you'd go really, really late.
Yes.
And then what time would you wake up in the morning for work?
Around 7 in the morning, maybe.
Shh. I mean, and it's not easy to go to bed right after working out. Like, your adrenaline's up. Like, you probably wouldn't go to bed until midnight or 1.
Yes. Yeah.
Man. And wow. Well, that's incredible. And obviously now it's different just because of COVID, but normal times, what time do you go to the gym now?
No, right now I go in the mornings, like really early morning, 7 a.m. or so.
Got it. Okay.
I like to go. I used to go in the evenings after work, but then I switched to the mornings, and it works for me. I like it. So yeah.
And are you okay with people being there now? Like you're good with it?
Yeah, I train the gym is pretty like small.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of people in the morning, so that's okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
But your confidence now is higher, whereas like even if you had to go at like noon.
Yeah, no, for sure. And yeah, but one of the things that really helped on that side was after my initial weight loss of those 80 pounds or whatever, I kind of wanted, when the new year, like 2018 came, I really wanted to take lifting a little bit more seriously. So through at the time, so I posted my first photo on Instagram when I lost when I broke the 200 pound mark around December or so. So by browsing Instagram, I found a local trainer here, and she was like, she's super strong, and I was very impressed by watching her lift. Like, she was really strong, she goes hard and whatever. So I noticed in one of her stories saying that, hey, I'm local to the Detroit area and I'm looking for one-on-one clients.
Wow.
And I said, you know what, let's do this. And I DM'd her, I sent her an email, and I started working with her. And I started working with her and her partner since 2018, and I'm still working with them. They are my coaches.
That's They're awesome.
Amazing coaches. Like I said, I at the time, at the beginning, they didn't offer any nutrition coaching.
Yep.
So I still did my own nutrition, quote unquote, but I will train with them. But then after that, I remember I then after losing the 80 pounds, when I was like maybe 200 or 190-ish, I said, okay, I wanna put like a goal weight or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I said, I wanna go down to 170 pounds. So I was not able to do it on my own for some reason, right? So that's when they started offering nutrition. So I said, you know what, maybe let's try them. Let's handle, you know, all what I have, all the stress. Let's pass that to someone else.
I love that.
And it worked, man, like magic. Like, because the numbers they gave me as far as calories and macros, they weren't that different to the ones I calculated myself. But just by relieving myself from that, it has been working great.
Do you know how many calories you were eating on those numbers?
Like maybe 1,900, maybe?
1,900. And it's, so you bring up a really good point where when you hire a coach or you give it to somebody else, there's no more guesswork. There's no more wondering, is this right? Is this wrong? It's like, no, the coach gave it to me and I trust the coach. So, and when you do that, you're more consistent with it.
Yes.
And that leads to more progress.
Yeah. And you're less, or at least for myself, the way I am less intrigued to try to tweak something. And
yes. Yes.
So yeah. And yeah, when I handled my nutrition to them, everything started moving again. So when I finally reached the 170, I said, you know what, I cannot be, you know, losing weight forever. And
yeah.
I need to properly, you know, try to regain confidence and, I don't know, like surpass the fear of food or whatever we call it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's when I, after that, in like February of 2019, I started my first and only to this time bulk.
Let's
but
go.
It was not truly a bulk. I mean, we started going slowly,
yep.
You know, increasing up in calories and weight. And I remember I even had the conversation with my parents. I just, you know, guys, now I will be gaining weight, but I'll be doing it, you know, purposely. So don't worry if you see me a little bit heavier, it's okay.
Wow, I love that you like preemptively said that.
Yes.
That's so smart, because sometimes people keep it quiet and then they see their family 4 months later and they're like, oh, wow, looks like you've put on some weight. And it's like, yeah, of course, but they don't know that it was deliberate. So the fact that you went out of your way to say, hey, just so you know, this is on purpose. So smart, man. You're really taking control of everything that you have control over.
Yeah, I know, and like I said, like having obviously the coaches and the knowledge, like from watching your content and other people's content, I know that what you know what how some like the, I know the concepts, but I still wanted to see them applied on me, right?
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
I wanted to see how I looked on how no how I looked, how my body would react by eating more food, right? By so many years of trying to lose weight, like let's see what the body can do when you know, now try to gain weight. So I started, you know, doing the bulk and increasing food, and you know, I felt great in the gym. Like I felt strong, I felt energized, and I found out always. I thought, you know, I'm one of those people that is really that they have a really hard time losing weight and they gain weight really easy. Well,
Yep.
actually, it was not the case, man. So I remember it took me a while to break the 185-pound, you know, going down.
Yep.
It took me also a while to break that barrier going up.
That's what happens when you're consistent with it and you do it incrementally, when you don't just like eat as much as you possibly can. When you're scientific about it and you're deliberate with it's not easy to do.
Yeah, and that's why I like working with the coach has been great, and I mean they are great coaches. But anyway, like I said, I went from 170 or 160 something all the way to like 187, 188. I quite didn't reach the 190
Okay.
mark. I did that in like maybe 10 or 11 months, and I said, you know what? That this is a lot of food that I'm eating. I'm not, you know, my digestion is not feeling the best.
Yep.
I kind of want to see, you know, trying to you know decrease food a little, because I work like a 9-to-5 job, so I'm not the most active person. You know, I
Yep.
have my 1.5 hour, you know, lifting session, and basically that's it for the rest of the day. I'm also like not the biggest, like the tallest guy. I'm like 5'7", 5'8" on a good day. So I know that I think I was eating like 3,300 calories or 3,400 calories.
Yeah,
So
that's
that's
a
a lot
lot.
of food for someone that doesn't move that much.
Yeah,
So I talked to them, say, hey, can we just try to slowly go back and maybe maintain? And that's what we did. And that's how I've been doing it for the last year or so.
that's
And right now
awesome.
I've settled around between 177, 182 pound. But the funny thing is that now that I'm lighter, I've been maintaining, that's when my lifts and my performance in the gym has gone up like crazy. Like that's when the big PR started happening right now when I'm maintaining, right?
Yeah,
And
yep.
like also the mental side of things again, when I was so self-conscious about my body, right? And I still am. So one of the things I worked with my coaches was like, okay, put goals, you know, set goals, but not only in the weight room. Try to put, you know, set goals outside of them. And one of them was like, okay, you know what? I'm really self-conscious about my chest and my arms. So what can we do? Okay, once a week, come to the gym to our sessions wearing a tank top.
Wow, I love that.
So, and that's one thing that I still do today because I still have some issues on that end, right?
Yeah,
So I
yeah.
try to at least once a week, or one of my workouts, try to do it in a tank top just to work on the mental aspect.
Man,
Because
I love it. Anything that that you see as an insecurity or as a difficulty, you literally make sure that you do exactly that. Like whatever you think was going to be scary for you or anxiety producing or something that you're struggling with, instead of avoiding it, you literally face it head on every time. It's a recurring pattern that you've said over and over and over again. I love that. It's exactly what you need to do when you're fearful about something. You don't avoid it. You face that head on. And it also brings up a great point where, you know, I think a lot of people. One thing I've noted, because I mainly work with women, the majority of people I work, I'd say about 70, 75% of who I work with are women. And in the same way that there are a lot of misconceptions about women, there are many misconceptions about men. And one of the ones that I've seen over time is that many women just assume that men are confident in the gym, that they just assume that they're stronger and they're confident. And they see a guy walking around in a tank top and they think, oh, he just must be so confident. But they don't know that you're wearing a tank top because you're not
confident in it and that you're doing it to build that up. It's a really important thing to be aware of.
Yeah, and that's like, again, I know I said this before, but working with a coach that understands that is super important, because they were the ones that actually helped me, like, tailor those goals towards that end. Like, I spoke with them. I said, you know what? I struggle with this. They know that I struggle, you know, like, I would say, like, the physical transformation, you know, had surpassed a little bit the mental one. Yep. I still sometimes see myself as the old, you know, big dude, but I'm trying to catch up, right? So the only way to do that is to challenge yourself. So that's another, you know, that's one of the reasons why I joined the Inner Circle, because I did that back in June when the pandemic was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And I wasn't in the best place mentally, right? I was struggling. I was stuck at home doing, you know, just dumbbell and body weight only workouts, and not able to work outside, to go outside, to do anything. And I felt like I needed something again to, like, help me get, can I swear?
Dude, you can swear all you want.
So to help me get my shit together again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, okay, I'll join the Inner Circle, just because I want to hear all these amazing stories that I've been hearing in your podcast. Like, man, I mean, because the ones that you hear in the podcast are just a few, right? There's a lot of other cool stories in there.
Yeah.
So that's why I joined it, and I immediately liked it, because everyone's so supportive. Like, I know the community's great, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's very cool.
I'm consistently blown away at the Facebook community, like,
yes,
how incredibly honest and encouraging and supportive people are, how they give the tough love when someone needs it, and they also they welcome everybody and anybody in, whether they're high level lifter or it's their first day, or maybe it's not even their first day yet. And it's just so encouraging and supportive. And just like you said, you know, I think people hear these stories on the podcast and they don't even realize, like, the stories that happen in the Facebook group every day are,
yes,
incredible.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly that. I was thinking, that was my whole thought process. Like, you know, maybe if I'm able to see that again, you know, firsthand, I will be able to, you know, like, find something or find motivation within me to keep on doing what I'm doing. And at the same time, like, this whole thing has been almost 4 years that I've been, you know, that I lost the weight and I've been able to change my life completely. Like I said on the email, lifting literally saved my life. So
yeah,
if I'm able to give back somehow or one way or another back to the online community, because you guys were the ones who helped me, right? Because of the online fitness community is how I found this new me, right? So if there's a way for me to help that whenever, whatever I can do, I'll do it. And yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just, like, grateful. And I don't know, like, I'm just, yeah.
Man, I want you to know I'm beyond grateful for you. And I promise you this, and I mean this, I promise you, just by you and I chatting today, you are going to help thousands and thousands of people. I promise you that. Do you have an Instagram?
Yes, I do.
You don't have to if you don't want, but if you're comfortable, would you want to share your Instagram just so maybe someone listening who you helped would want to message you?
Sure. Sure. It's at Jose, Jose dot Gomez, Gomez, Z, sorry.
Okay, so Jose, Jose.
Jose dot Gom, as in mom, Ez, 13.
Amazing.
That's my handle. Yeah.
I would imagine you'll be getting some messages from people just saying thank you for this. And man, I would, like, if it's okay with you, I'd love to offer you a free month in the Inner Circle for not only taking the time, but for being so open and honest about everything that you've been through. It's very easy. You know, we talk about how social media is a highlight reel and we only see what people want us to see. It's very easy to make your story seem like a highlight reel.
Right.
It's much harder, much more difficult to be open and honest and really let people in. And for you to take your time out of your day to do this with me and to share your story, is it means everything to me. So I would love to give you a free month if you're okay with that. And thank you, man. You've been extraordinary in every sense of the word, and I appreciate you immensely.
No, for sure, man. And thank you and you know, all the people, you know, that I've named names here or whatever. Like I said, like, with your information, I've been able to change my life completely. And I'm sure that this is, you know, I've tried losing weight and, you know, get my health back in control so many times before, but I know that this time is for good, because I know, and I'm confident that I know what I need to know in order to keep on going. And yeah.
And it's interesting, because you said how you watched YouTube videos for years, and so you had all the knowledge before you even began. So it's not even that you know what you need to know. It's that now you've made it your lifestyle.
Yes. Right?
Training is now a lifestyle, and nutrition is now a lifestyle, and you've taken the time. This didn't happen overnight. This didn't happen over a year. This didn't happen over 2 years. This has happened over years.
Yeah.
Many of those years literally just educating yourself. Other parts of those years actually putting it into practice. It's like, I think you are the quintessence of what I would love people to see. I would much rather people hear this conversation and see you than see someone on a men's fitness magazine who's jacked and shredded. Because for me, that's not what fitness is. That can be one part of some people's fitness, but you are what health and fitness is. Like, you are what I want people to really see, because this is the truth of it. This is the truth of it. This is the reality of it. And I think you are an incredible representation of what people strive and aim to be. So thank you so much, man.
No, I mean, thank you again, man. Like I said, I mean, I will never have enough words, man, because yeah, this is life changing for sure.
Well, listen, man, I'm gonna shoot you an email to get you set up with that free month in the inner circle. But in the meantime, have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you so much. And if you ever need anything, please don't ever hesitate to reach out, okay?
No problem. Thank you very much for taking the time, Jordan.
It's been a pleasure, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Sure. Thank you.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Jose, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. To everyone listening, if you haven't joined the inner circle yet, what are you waiting for? Do it right now. There's a link in the show notes, www.sfinnercircle.com. We've got all of the workouts you could ever need, all the nutrition information, recipes, and most importantly, an incredible, incredible community. Hope to see you in the inner circle. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon.